Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited about the kingdom. Come on, the kingdom. Life is an exciting thing. It's exciting every day. It's exciting all the time. You know, I want my life to be supernatural. I want my life to look like the disciples, come on, the apostles, the people of the New Testament church. Boy, you know, they saw some stuff. Come on, they experienced some stuff in the Lord. And I think that it's important today that we set our heart to do that, to seek after the Lord, to make sure that we're getting full into the Spirit-filled life, living with God, loving God. I want to be all that God's called me to be.
Amen.
Really, I want to be that for my sake, too, so that I can experience everything the Lord wants me to have and wants me to experience. But I want to be it for the Lord's sake. Don't you want to be everything the Lord wants you to be for the Lord's sake? Listen, the Lord is counting on us. Amen. Listen, we're the best God's got. Amen. And God's counting on us to be who He needs us to be so that we can all come together and this whole thing can work together. And so I want to be a remnant believer. I want to be part of God's remnant. I want to be part of the ones that stay, that remain, that survive, that hang in there. I want to be part of the ones that God can count on. That God doesn't have to look up and wonder in this season, you know, where are they going to be? What's, you know, are they hot or are they cold? Or are they lukewarm? Are they all in? Are they partially out? Are they? No. I want to be the one, and I want you to be the one. I think if we were to probably study some of the New Testament saints that the Lord used to birth the church and the earth, we would see that they're remnant people. They're people that God could count on. You know, in the early days when I used to study the Bible, I always wondered why when God chose the initial, like the 12 apostles, why they were all Jews, you know, because we knew that the Bible had opened up, that the Spirit of God had opened up to everybody. But I know this, that as a Jew, they had studied the people of the Old Testament. I think that they knew God had a better basis to start with them because they knew the history. They knew the history of God's people. They knew the things that God had spoken in the days of old. And that's why you see many times in the New Testament that you see them quoting and saying things that are from the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, even though we came out of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant into a New Covenant, there's still things that we learn. Amen? Come on. There's still things that we glean from the Old Testament, from the people of old. As a matter of fact, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Verse 4. It says that there were things that were written before for our learning, that through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so even though we've come out of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, into a new covenant, into a better covenant, there are still things that we learn from the people of old, from the people of God. And so we've been looking recently at some of the remnant people from the Old Testament, some of the characteristics that they have, some of the qualities that they have, some of the attributes, their attitudes. They were the ones that remained faithful to God when most people didn't. They were the ones that stayed with and remained with God when many veered off and fell off and to all sorts of other practices and all sorts of other things. They were the ones that survived, didn't let their life with God get derailed. Come on, by culture. Come on, by pressures, by situations in life. These people that we've been looking at, like Abraham, like Noah, like Lot, like Gideon, come on, like Joash, like Elijah. These were the people that were able to remain faithful with God. And what I see about them is this wasn't just this claim to being a remnant people wasn't just something that they were giving lip service to. No, it was proved out in their life that they were remnant by their actions, by the results that they were able to get in the Lord. And so I believe it's important for us. I just have to be honest. You know, I hear the call of the Lord for a remnant people. We know that the Bible says God has always worked, and I believe is still working to preserve a remnant. And there's a call to the people today of God. There's a call today to the church to know what it means to be remnant, to study it out and really know so that we can make sure that we're found on the right side, in the right place with the Lord. Amen. And so Wednesday night, we took a quick look at Elijah. Boy, what a remnant he was. You know, at one time he thought he was the only prophet left. But even in that moment of being all alone, of having no support, of having no one else that he could count on, he stood up for what he knew to be true. He stood up for the true living God. I mean, he called out the prophets of Baal. He said, come on down here, meet me at Mount Carmel. We're going to have a showdown, and we're going to find out who the real God is. Amen. Come on. He was a remnant guy. I mean, he stood up, and he stood alone. He stood alone. And he was able to stand up, and he was able to stand alone because he had a stand-up relationship with God. Amen. Come on, if we're going to be remnant people today, we're going to have a stand-up relationship with God. We're going to have to know our God. We're going to have to know who he is. We're going to have to know what he will do. We're going to have to know what he said. And we're going to have to believe that and trust that and act upon that. Amen. That's what God is expecting. Elijah was able to stand when no one else would stand. So as remnant, we're going to have to stand when no one else can and when no one else will. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says, having done all, therefore stand. Come on, having done all to stand. Having done all to stand, then we have to stand. We have to be found standing in the truth of God's word. We have to be standing in the truth of a life with the Holy Spirit. Like Elijah, we're going to have to stand up. And you know what? With Elijah, it took boldness. Come on, it took boldness to take on 450 prophets of Baal by himself. But he knew that God was with him because he stood with God. God stood with him. Why did God stand with him? Why did God stand with him? Number one, I believe that Elijah was a man that honored God's word. Isn't that one of the things that the Lord told us? A condition that's conducive to revival is if we will honor the word of the Lord. You know, God honors his word even above his name. I believe that Elijah was a man that honored the word of God. And because he honored God's word, God honored his word. Come on, if we will honor God's word, then God will honor our word. Elijah was also a man of prayer. He was a prayer. I mean, there were times that he needed something from the Lord, like after the drought, after he had caused the drought with his own words at the will of the Lord, then he knew it was time for it to rain. And so the Bible says he went down and he bowed his head before the Lord and he just prayed. And you know what? He prayed until he got results. Come on, if we're going to be remnant people, we're going to have to be praying people. Come on, remnant people are praying people. We know the need to get before the Lord. Come on, we know the need to be in the presence of the Lord. We know the need to find the grace that we need, to obtain the mercy that we need, to get the help that we need from before the throne of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to be remnant. I want to follow like Abraham. I want to prepare and obey like Noah. I want to be able to let go of and not look back at things like Lot. I want to stand up in my identity and not be intimidated or scared and take the victory like Gideon. I want to be found in and I want to be found loving sincerely the house of the Lord like Joash and like David, a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. I want to be remnant people. And I believe that a remnant person is going to be that one that will run to and run with a remnant church. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible does say that we're all in a race. You know that we're running. Be aware of that. Although with the Lord there's grace and although with the Lord there's rest, we're running. These are running days. These are not sitting at home doing nothing days. These are the days to run. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we're running a race and we're running as if to win. Come on, we're running as if to obtain the prize. And so it's important, first of all, who are you going to be and who are you going to run with? Did you know it's important who you run with? I don't know about y'all, but, you know, back a few years back, I have run some races before. You know, running some of those 5K and some of those things for different causes and different things. Listen, I want you to know it matters who you run with. It really does. You don't want to be running with the one that's lagging behind and sucking it up, you know, because you begin to take on that. Amen. Instead, you want to be running with the one that's steady. Come on, the one that has a full, you know, composure of their body and their grasp of good air. Come on. You want to get a little breeze off of their running right beside them. Isn't that true? Well, that's what it's like in the gospel, you know, because we are not called to do this alone, although we do have to have a individual life with the Lord. Absolutely. You have to be able to pray yourself, call on God yourself, get things that you need yourself. You have to be able to do that. But listen, there's times too that the Lord needs us to be together. There's times that you need to confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. You do know that's a scripture, right? And so it's important who you run with. Amen. Last Sunday, one of our church members, he usually comes to second service, but he came up to service and he said that while I was preaching, the Lord said something to him. And I said, "Ooh, that's good. I'm gonna record that and write it down." And so yesterday I texted him again. I said, "Tell me exactly what the Lord said." This is what the Lord said. He said, "The corporate anointing needs the individual anointing. And the individual anointing needs the corporate anointing to maximize the potential anointing of the body of Christ." In other words, if we're going to maximize what God wants in this day, if we're going to maximize the glory of God, if we're going to maximize the power of God, come on, if we're going to maximize the grace of God, come on, if we're going to maximize it, we're going to have to do it together. But yet when you're by yourself, I'm still there. God's still with me. But it is going to call us to do it together. We can't do it on our own. And so I want to talk to you this morning about what it means to be a remnant church, what it means to be a remnant people together. And this is why it's important, is because, you know, if I'm determined to be remnant, not just by myself, but here together, and you're determining to be remnant, and we're all determining to be remnant, then we can be remnant together, and we can be the place that others can run to. And we can be the ones that others can run with in this hour that God can use to fulfill the plan of God. So I want to talk to you this morning again about something from the Old Testament. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 12. So there was a time in the Old Testament when Israel was not united. And we're going to pick up reading. I'm going to go ahead and read this. I want to go ahead and read this morning, this chapter. So while you're turning there, I'm going to fix and read what I'm going to tell you. But basically what happened is that, you know, we know that the Lord had said that through David's line, the Messiah would come, that David's house had been designated as the ruling line in that era. And so we have here that Israel had been being ruled by the descendants of David. You know, David had been on the throne, then Solomon was on the throne, and now Solomon's son was on the throne. But it seemed that some of the people got not happy. They got not happy with Solomon's son. They felt like things were a little restrictive. They didn't like some things that were going on. And so they decided that they did not want to be under the rule of David's descendants anymore. Okay, now listen, the word of the Lord had already come, that this was through the line that the Messiah was coming. It was through the ruling line. And so to rebel from David's descendants was to rebel from God, to turn from the Lord. All right? And so you had the 10 tribes that were up in the north, and they stayed together. They came out and basically took on the name of Israel. And their ruling city was Samaria. And then you had two tribes. Out of the 12 tribes, you had two tribes that were going to remain with the descendants of David, and it was the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And they were the south tribes, and they became known as Judah, okay? And so Judah became the remnant. When the other 10 tribes rebelled and turned away from God, it was Judah as a people, not as an individual, but as a people. It was Judah the nation of Judah that stayed together from two tribes to represent God and eventually be the ones to pull the people back into God's ways, or we could say what? To bring revival. Okay? So let's pick up and read this. 1 Kings chapter 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So what happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it? He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam and said, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdens, the burdensome service of your father and the heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." So in other words, they were coming and they were saying, "We don't like what's going on. We don't like the law. We don't like some things that we're required to do. We don't like the way things are going. And we want, now that your father is gone, we want you to lift some of the service and these things to make it easier on us. And if you will do that, we will serve you." You see what's happening here? "And so he said to them, 'Depart for 3 days, then come back to me.' And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted at the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, 'How do you advise me to answer these people?' And so they spoke to him, saying, 'If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.' But he rejected the advice which the elders gave him." So listen, even the elders were telling him, "Go ahead and do what the people want you to do. Go ahead and do. Go ahead and appease the people. You know, it's important to please the people." But he rejected the advice, and he consulted with the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said, "What advice do you give?" And so all this goes on, and he goes, let's go, let's skip down to verse 10. "Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, 'Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, "Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us." Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist.'" So they're getting a little on the opposite side. They're like, "We're going to show you, you know, we're going to stick with it. We're going to make it even more difficult on you," which that was not the right answer either. But verse 12. "But Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had directed, saying, 'Come back to me on the third day.' Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men." So here we see that really neither advice was good, but at least he was wanting to stick with the ways of the Lord. It's just that he didn't have wisdom in his answer. We need to see that. I'm going to skip down. Verse 16, "Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them," okay, "the people answered the king, saying, 'What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David.'" So here's where they made a decision, because the king wouldn't do what they wanted him to do, and because they were mad at his answer, they decided to depart and say that they were going to come out and not be part of David's inheritance anymore. So Israel departed to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Now listen, "Now King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue, but all Israel stoned him with stones and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass when all of Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and they called him to the congregation and made him king over all of Israel. And so there, none of them followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only." So there's the remnant. "Now when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of the Lord came, saying, 'Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me.' Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and they turned back. Then Jeroboam," now this is Israel, the 10 tribes that had had rejected the Lord, built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And he also from there built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. And if these people go after sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Jeroboam, the king of Judah. And they will kill me and they will go back. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which you brought up from the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made shrines on the high places, and he made priests from every class of people who were not from the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month of which he had devised this in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and he offered sacrifices on the altar. So what we see here is that they had decided to come out of the ways of the Lord. They decided that they wanted to do things their own way. And then they got a little concerned because they knew that the 10 tribes had been raised in the ways of the Lord. They knew the commands of the Lord. They knew that the command was to go to Jerusalem, which now was the ruling city of Judah. And so the king got concerned. He got concerned that the people were going to start going to Jerusalem and doing what really the Lord wanted them to do, follow the ways of the Lord. And so he said, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we build some altars, and why don't we change things up a bit? Why don't we change the religion a bit? Why don't we make things more simple for you? See, he decided that he was concerned about them departing and going to Jerusalem to worship, and therefore departing back to the other king and the ways of the Lord. So he just began to kind of make things up in order to hold the people, in order to please the people, in order to give the people what he thought the people wanted. And so he actually had them make golden calves, and he began to bring pagan worship in. And if you go on to read the story further down, what happens is, because the people adhered to that, because it was more pleasant to them, because it was easier to them, what happened is then they begin to be taken off into the ways of paganism, and it opened them up to their lives living like heathens. And then eventually they got taken captive by the Assyrians. And so I just want to tell you, church, that this is a warning. This is a picture of the church. And so we have to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to stay. Israel made a choice to, seemingly a common thing that happens today, to begin to deviate from some of the practices, from some of the laws, from some of the things that needed to be done. You know, like today. Like, what can we do today to make the people happy? Oh, I know. Let's make worship like a concert. Come on, let's make it feel like the world. Come on, let's turn on all the bright lights and let's put the smoke out and make us feel like, you know, everybody can hide in their seats. I turned on the TV one day and it was a Christian station. I don't remember what station it was. And so it was supposed to be Christian music. And so I turned it on and I was watching, and my first thought was like, what is this? I checked the station. Am I sure I'm on the right station? Because all of the people that were in this band, they had on black. Now listen, there's nothing inherently wrong with black, but they had on black, just like they were grungy. They were playing. They all had their heads down. There was no life in them. They were banging. It looked just like the world. I'm like, I've seen that in the world. I've seen that with the rock bands in the world. That's not, even, listen, we can have rock bands in Christ. I'm not against rock bands. But we shouldn't be looking like the world. Our worship can't look like the world. Our worship can't be shallow like the world. Come on, we can't sing about shallow things. And just sometimes I turn on the radio today and I'm like, are they singing to God or are they singing to a boyfriend? There should be a difference in our worship today and how the world worships, how it sounds, how it looks. I mean, when we're worshiping the Lord, we're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, our head ought to be up. Come on, there ought to be light on our face. Come on, there's a joy. There's a peace that ought to radiate from us. This is not about just producing music. This is not about getting famous. This is not about just being on the radio. This is not about traveling across the world and just touring in the name of Christian music. This is about worshiping the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's a privilege to worship the Lord. Listen, the world can't do what we do. Their heart is not in tune to the Lord. We have to be careful today to not slide off into things that deviate. Oh, what about this? Oh, I know this would be good today. Let's go ahead and shorten all the messages because, you know, the people are busy because, you know, the people got places to be. They don't want to be in church that long. Let's shorten the church services. You know, just quickly do some worship, quickly do a short little message, 25 minutes, because, you know, their attention span, you know, they don't have much of an attention span. So let's shorten all the message. And listen, let's not preach anything controversial. Let's not preach anything that challenges them or convicts them. Let's just preach a real good, feel good. You're wonderful. God loves you. God bless you. Go home. But we see that today. And we've just got to be aware that that's not who Remnant is. That's not what Remnant does. Remnant has to stay with the truth of God. There has to be something more with just, listen, I'm all for the encouraging messages. We preach them. I'm all for the inspirational messages. We give them. I'm all for the rah-ha, woo-hoo, glory to God stuff where we're swinging around. Praise the Lord. But with that also, sometimes should come the instruction of the Lord. Amen. And the word of the Lord that brings some correction, that challenges us, that causes us to repent. Listen, we may be people of God, and I know that our sins are covered by the blood, but just sometimes to raise your hand and say, God, so sorry, I missed it. Forgive me. To come into some repentance and actually change. You know, we're being changed from glory to glory to glory. Sometimes we need the messages. If we're going to be remnant people, we need the messages that make us sit quietly and go, oh. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Those messages are as much of the Lord and from the Spirit of God as the others. We can't be like the tribes that departed and wanted to bend things and go their own way. Oh, I know. Let's not do anything with the Holy Spirit because, you know, the Holy Spirit, let's bend that a little bit. We'll just take out that part. You know, of the book of Acts and all the stuff that Paul said and all the epistles. Because, you know, that's kind of controversial. The Holy Spirit, he's controversial. Y'all do know that that's true. The Holy Spirit is controversial. And he's controversial even in the churches. And so, you know, let's not make any room for the Holy Spirit. Let's not preach about the Holy Spirit. And Lord forbid, let's certainly not demonstrate anybody. No tongues in the corporate service. Because listen, a lot of people don't like that. It makes people uncomfortable. Come on. A lot of people don't understand that. So let's just stick that in the back room. You can do that at home. Listen, I believe what we do at home is what we ought to do together. Amen. And I believe what we do together ought to be what we do at home. Amen. Yeah. Amen? Amen. And so we can't bend things and change things. That's what people that are outside of the remnant do. The ones that are looking to make things easy. We can't bend our religious beliefs. I can't take things out of the Bible just because it might not be a popular message. If you study the Old Testament prophets, they were always required to stand up at times and give messages and say things that were not popular with the people. But they were needful for the people so that the people could remain strong in the Lord. We're not going to be able to bend our biblical traditions for culture. Because why? You remember what happened when Jeroboam opened up their worship to the pagan ways. What happened? They began to live like heathens, and eventually they got taken captive. You see, when we begin to slide off things of the Lord, when we begin to deviate off of the truths of God, the principles of God, the real reality of the fullness of God's kingdom, what happens is we get a result just like they did. What we have is we have the spirit of the world that comes into the church. The spirit of the church is supposed to go out into the world and be the light. Come on, and be the salt. We're not supposed to have the spirit of the world coming into the church. But when we make choices to deviate, to hold people to, you know, I don't want them going to down to that church down there. Listen, we're not about number. It's not about numbers. It's about doing this right before the Lord. And we've got a purpose together to be remnant people, to stand with the Lord. Because if not, we let that spirit of the world in. Listen, that spirit of the world is a strong spirit. It's working to sway. I mean, it's working heavily. And if we let that spirit of the world into the church, it will cause people to drift into the ways of the world. And eventually, just like Israel was taken captive by the Assyrians, Christians can get out and they're taken captive into things of the world and by things of the world and the ways of the world. But we're remnant. We won't do it. Amen. Come on, I said we're remnant. We won't do it. We're going to stay with the true religion of the Bible. Isn't that true? We're going to stay with the traditions of God. Come on, we're going to stay with the... Listen, I've been in places that don't want to take communion anymore because it talks about the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus can be offensive to people. I've been in services before where they don't want to sing anymore songs that say Jesus. They only want to sing songs that say God. No. We're going to have to be the remnant people that stay with God, that stay with the ways of God, that stay with the lifestyles of Christianity. Listen, Christianity has a lifestyle. Amen. Years ago, many, many, many years ago, before I was securely anchored, spirit-filled in the kingdom, I knew of this thing they used to have on TV. It was called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Y'all remember that? This just came up out of nowhere. But lifestyle. See, the rich and the famous had a lifestyle. And many times you could tell that they were rich and famous by the way they lived. Come on, people ought to be able to tell that you're a Christian by the way you live. They ought to be able to tell you're a Christian. Come on, because where are you on Sundays? I'm in church. Where are you during midweek? Come on, I'm in the house of the Lord. Come on, why can't you do that? Oh, no, because Christians don't do that. Because we don't participate in those kind of things. Why don't you talk like they talk? Because we don't talk like the world. Our vocabulary is different from the world. Hallelujah. We're going to have to stay with faithfully teaching and preaching and demonstrating the word, the uncompromising truth. It's amazing because the devil tries to trick people. See, he thinks that he tells people that, you know, when things like that come that seem difficult or challenging to us, he wants to tell people that that's putting bondage on you. But that's not the truth, because the Bible says that it's the truth that sets us free. Some of these things we need to hear from the Lord so that we can be set free, so that we can come into a deeper place with the Lord. This is the privilege and the benefit of being the church. This is the privilege and the benefit of being a remnant people. Hallelujah. That's what remnant does. They stick with the word and they stick with the spirit. They don't compromise. We are not building a social group. We are not making a following. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is making disciples. A remnant church makes disciples. Amen. A remnant church is building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're doing. That's what remnant will be found doing. We must survive the downward slide of a lukewarm church. We can't stick our head in the sand and act like this doesn't exist. Listen, John saw it the day that he got in the Spirit and the Lord spoke to him. Come on. And then letters were written and then identified things of the church. Those things still apply today about the lukewarm church. You know, the ones that God wanted to vomit out of his mouth. We don't want to be in that category. He wrote that to the church. He didn't write that to the people outside the church. He wrote it to the church. We see many, many, many warnings in the Bible of the hot growing cold. Come on, of the holy becoming wicked. We're going to have to stay with the Lord. Make sure that we're the remnant. God is wanting us to raise up a true remnant people. I feel a call to do that. I feel a call to that. I don't feel a call to go after, you know, there's been different terminologies years ago. It became the seeker-sensitive church. And really, it sounded like a good idea. You know, they realized that people outside the church maybe didn't want to come to the church because they were unfamiliar with what went on. And so, once again, the devil had a really nice, you know, let's make it seeker-friendly. Those that are seeking, like they were seeking. But what happened is when they came in, they didn't find God anymore. They got so seeker that they went into looking like the world and acting like the world that they didn't have enough of the presence of God, of the power of God, of the fire of God, of the holiness of God. And you know, years later, the main couple of churches, the pastors that were involved in that, came out and just acknowledged that it really didn't work. It said what happened is they got people, a whole bunch of people in, and a whole bunch of people attending church, but what they recognized 3, 4, 5 years down the road was that none of them were disciples. And none of them stayed with the church. But we're going to be the ones that's going to stay. Amen. We're going to stay with the truth. We're going to stay with the Word. We're going to stay with the Spirit of God. And I believe that the real reality is if people are not interested in growing into being a remnant believer, or if they're not interested in growing as a remnant, even as a remnant, we're growing, then they're going to run from a remnant church. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. We're going to take people as they are. We're going to love people. We're going to accept people. We're going to bring them. But we're going to expect when they get in here that they hear the truth, that they encounter the Holy Spirit, and that their heart is open enough to latch hold of that so that they can begin to be changed and come into a sonship of the Lord and then become a servant of the Lord and eventually into being a remnant believer that's part of a remnant church. Hallelujah. That's what it is to be remnant. And I hear this call going off in me that we can't look around and say, wow, you know, maybe I ought to go do this because, you know, they're requiring something of me. Yes, we're going to require something of you. Because God is requiring something of you. It was required something of God to obtain you, and that was to give his only son. He gave up something. And this is about the giving up of our lives in response so that we could be remnant people and be a remnant church. When the things continue, the world continues to grow darker. Come on, when even the hot wax cold, I want to be the one that's remained standing, and I want you to be standing too. I want this church to be known as a beacon of light, something that's different from the world and the ways of the world. This is serious stuff to God. It's very serious. We must know and we must discern the times that we're in so that we don't get led astray. You know, every time we see, usually in the Old Testament, you can see it, but you can certainly see it with people. You can see it with churches today. When you see these sorts of things coming in and things begin to get changed and bent and lessened and weakened, it's usually due to pressures of the environment or pressures of the culture or pressures to be popular or pressures to grow a church. Listen, the only way I want to grow a church is the way that the book of Acts did it. Amen. They didn't go into the world, act like the world, be like the world, look like the world, water things down. They went in with just, I mean, the truth and the power of God, and they turn the world upside down. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how we ought to grow the church. That's what God is looking for us, to be ones that can recognize that not all church trends are good, that not all church trends or ways are godly. And although we're not going to get focused on that, we're not going to be the ones going around pointing at, but it's important that you check your heart. You know, the moment that the devil starts telling you, you walk out of here and you're like, "Ooh, that was challenging. Ooh, that was a little bit." You need to say, "Ooh, that was good for me." Amen. If you found that challenging, it was good for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's a challenge in the Lord. So we do have to be aware of what's going on so as to not fall prey to that. So as to not be deceived into becoming something that's not fully what a remnant believer would be. I want to be remnant. I want to be like Judah. I want to be a people, and I want to be with people that are going to stay faithful to the Lord, remain in the things of God. Hallelujah. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Come on, don't you want to be remnant?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I believe that when we really knows what it means to say that to the Lord, "Lord, I want to be remnant." When I believe we really know what that means and we can really say that with our heart, I believe that the Lord is right there with us. Come on, He's right there with us with the invitation to come just as we are and let Him do a work in us so that we can stand up like Elijah. I believe that these are days like Elijah where everything else seems to be going the opposite ways, but we're going to have to stand up strong in the Lord, having done all to stand, and we're going to stand, and we're going to stand until the end. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.